Get comfortable and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
This is Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical and spiritual information show that's designed to set your mind and help you to think outside of the box. On today's show, as usual, my husband Mick will be deep trance channeling, and today we are going to be talking about manifesting and creating. And I'd like to just say welcome to any new listeners that we have with us this morning on this lovely Sunday morning. And if you have come over with us from our Monday evening slot, well, even better. So do drop us a line or give us a call on the program if you want to join in. Or obviously, you know, if you're going about your business, then I'd rather you listen and absorb what's happening and actually maybe enjoy the show and maybe learn something, or maybe you'll get some food for thought from what we're talking about from the spirit world's point of view. And either way, whatever you would like to do, then that's good for me. Anyway, the number is a free phone number. In the USA, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And, of course, people in the UK now can actually join us as well if they wanted to. The international call you do have to pay for, but it's only a quick call. It's 001-530-876-3222.
Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com every Monday. No, every Sunday at 10 a.m. How am I going to get?
A while.
10 a.m. PST. We have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. And that is going to be changing to.
No, that is the new time.
Oh, that is the new time. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Okay, fine.
No, EST.
No, it's EST. It's 7 p.m. EST that we'll be going to,
that's
which
right.
is, what's that, 4 o'clock?
Yes.
EST. Yeah. Okay, if you would like to know more about us, our books, maybe you would like to buy a CD or a CD download, please do go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. You can buy Akashic readings and all different kinds of assessment readings and different sorts of things, anyway, that are available there. And as Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium, which means that each week, live on the show, I channel Gregory Hay, who had an Earth life 300 years ago. I have the ability to completely hand over my body to the spirit world so they may use it to speak through. And I know absolutely nothing about what happened during this time. It's kind of like a lights out, really. And when I go into the deep trance state, my conscious mind and my spirit are transported elsewhere by the spirit team who work with us. And then they bring me back again when the spirit communicator leaves. It's a bit like, I suppose, having an out-of-body experience is very much like I sometimes have in dream state as well, where I may be just transported somewhere else and I have no understanding of the physical world. And the point is, I not only miss the whole show, but I very rarely remember where it was they took me either, because it's not shamanism, it's actually to do with where that would be kind of relating to the journey. And shamanism is very much about the journey and about what you picked up at the time, whereas what we do is it's spirit interactivity using my physical body. And for my mind and my consciousness, it's best well left in one little pile or heap somewhere.
Covered up,
playing nicely by itself or just not doing anything at all. And that's kind of usually what happens. Okay, bye and bye. I'm going to go now. Okay,
yep. So
I'll leave you to the rest of the show, I think. Bye.
Yep. Gregory Hay is a spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group, and they consist of many great minds as well as ordinary people. Between them, they have access to vast knowledge and insight. They've come to bring their teaching for the need for us to have an understanding beyond the constraints of our human minds. And the subject matters we cover really are limitless, but hopefully if there's anything that you think that you would like the Spirit World Spirit Team to cover 1 week, or if you just have a few questions and actually telephoning in is not your thing because it's not for everybody, then you can drop us a line at enq@spirit-teaching.com and I will always read your question out on air, Gregory. So that's no problem. And most of these things, we don't actually do personal readings on the air, although in a couple of weeks we have got a medium coming on to put you in touch with your loved ones to give you some messages. So so I think that's the 15th, so put that in your diary. And but it's really basically anything you ever wanted to know that you didn't really know who to ask about Spirit World, about life after death, about your purpose here on earth, and about energy and all of the things that only maybe somebody who has who spirit guides would know, really. And they don't come here just to lecture us, they come here to debate with us and to just bring us their ideas, just to help us along and help us become better informed as to the nature of our existence on earth, you know, to give us upliftment, help us along as best they can. We're also on secondlife.com, actually, in a few hours. So that would be 2 p.m. Pacific, if you would like to join us at the Mystic Academy in the New Oracle Temple. Like I say, you can go to www.spirit-teaching.com to find out more about us. Anyway, but welcome, and welcome to Gregory. Hello, Gregory.
Love and light and blessing be upon your path. My dear
thing. Thank you.
A little bit.
You know, when we were thinking of the show this week, I was thinking about, because all week I've been hearing, I've been thinking about situations that actually make people become more aware of their inner knowing, their sort of bringing it to the surface, that there's been a quiet energy or whatever you'd like to call it guiding them all these years, but they never really realized it until a certain event maybe happened to them, you know. So basically it was all to do with interviews that we had to do, you know, when you've got to sort of say, you know, was there a catalyst in your life where you that led you to veer towards a more spiritual pathway and that sort of thing, or a searching pathway. And sometimes that's very difficult, isn't it, because it seems every day is a learning experience, and you do change, but you don't notice the change. But you have woken up, but you don't really know how or why a lot of the time. Some people do, and this is what I'd like to talk about today, but I'd also like to say to our listeners, you know, if you actually do know the catalyst, maybe a song, a place that you went to, or a person that you met, that created a change or an awakening with you, within you, do give us a call and share it with us, because it's fascinating to everybody else, and it gives everybody a realization at some point. We can all share ideas. We're all much the same, aren't we, Gregory?
Yes, absolutely. So, on the face of it, yes.
Yeah, so do call us, 877-876-527 in the USA, and Canada is 888-815-9756.
So, for example, then, my dear friend, if you were come and, shall we say, that you aren't particularly searching for anything, what is it that states of your physical realization then touch the chords of perhaps harmony or the chords of awareness that you had not previously searched for, or that you had not previously understood or even imagined were a part of your life? It's part of that situation of energy, is it not, where you would only hope that, or people perhaps who are negatively displaced, perhaps people who are creating problems or violent or something like that, that they will one day be touched by something of beauty, so that they actually displace, put down their weapon of violence or their anger, and understand that there is something far greater and more beautiful that is present, therefore, not just as a physical thing, a life object. I understand it's particularly difficult with those people who may, in a sense, ritualistically want to, I suppose, how can I say this, dispatch other living beings purely for the fun of it. So we have to turn our attention to exactly what it is that happens when a person, shall we say, does a simple thing. And the simple thing we're going to use for this is a tree. A person then comes into a garden and, or a field, we'll say a garden for this moment, and on seeing a particular kind of tree, in a sense, has a certain attachment to it. It creates an ambiance within the being themselves, but actually it touches off many different situations. It creates serotonin within the physical being. It creates masses of it. And what actually releases that and engineers it is the actual reaction that you have to the object you are seeing. You may have thought of a tree not in this way, not perhaps in the way that its limbs are placed, or the way that it occupies the space it does, or even, in fact, the space that it does not occupy. A tree, after all, is oftentimes the most graceful of creatures, being, I know, that it is rigid and yet fluid at the same time as it bends, perhaps to do with the will of the pressures of temperature or climate or wind, or however the physical manifestation moves around it, or through its branching. You would observe perhaps the different kinds of beings that live upon it. But most importantly, what you do observe is the grace and beauty with which its shape adorns the space of reality before you. This then actually may at times, for those who are particularly empathic with tree, will actually touch off a certain kind of harmonic, which this, in turn, will enable you to, in a sense, it's like creating space in your mind. But the space that the tree occupies, the beautiful lines and the beautiful situation of harmonic that it conveys to you, don't forget, it's a tree. It's not a being that you would normally register with as being able to communicate with you, and yet its shape is what is communicating with you. And its beauty, perhaps, is possibly defined by its well-being. The very fact that it is not diseased. The very fact that it is of a really graceful state. Perhaps even it may well be an oak tree, which has been long since passed. But that too actually leaves a certain impression of it. And this too can be the case. Perhaps possibly because of all of the hundreds of years that it has been in its physical existence. And so you come along in your life and acknowledge that growing existence. And the fact then it takes you into all of the human lives that must have lived past it, walked past it, sheltered beneath its boughs. All of these situations of energy come to create meaningful understanding as images in your mind and as connectivity with your spirit. That's exactly what happens. When these kinds of forgiving and giving senses and nuances of feeling that you pick up when you are observing a certain object or living tissue, cell, being, it may become that because of your love that you create for it, or the love that it fires in you, the attraction it fires on you through the actual images that you see, means that what actually happens is connectivity to your spirit. And your spirit then is resonating, and it means that you find beauty within that, and you find that you are upon fields of enlightenment to do that. That's exactly what happens. So don't ever think, my dear friend, that, oh, I'm not an enlightened being, or I have not had the experience of becoming enlightened. What do you think that creating awareness is? If it is not just the beginning of the search, it is also that you come and drink in certain energies, certain images, which relate to you and you to it, in such a way that you become understanding of it. As soon as you become understanding of one thing, you are enlightened by it. And this enlightenment means that you are of a gentler vibration than you were before you met with it. So never let it be said, dear friend, that any one of you is not enlightened, when you actually are acting out of understanding the situations you come involved with. It simply means to say that what you are really doing is you are interacting with that life form, taking in its beauty, because it is part of the living creation of all life of the universe. And in as much as you are, it's reflecting its beauty back to you and then resonating within you so that you reflect some of that loving energy back. This is what beings do in all forms of life, but that which is an originating energy of the spirit world. You may, in the other situation, perhaps observe a flower for the very first time. Perhaps it's a certain kind of flower that just really takes your breath away. What is it that takes your breath away? Is it the color that you see? Or the shape, form of it? The way that it has a presence within your physical domain? Or is it the space it occupies and that which it does not occupy? That really makes you connect with it, with its beauty, with its unbridled tapestry of life. Yes, physical cell organisms, absolutely so. But they have to arrange themselves in a certain given way due to the pattern of genetics, I know. But at the same time, it is still of spirit. At the same time, it brings a coloration to life, to your world, in linear time. And it also means to say that if you look very carefully, you may actually see or glimpse the energy around the flower, or around the tree, or any other being that you are dwelling with, or that you are looking at and observing and sharing your life with in your world. What all this has to do with is the transcendence of energy between the physical world and the spirit world, and how your awareness of it can change your horizon. It begins to make you feel, perhaps, as though life is not what all of what you had thought it would be. Perhaps it is something to do with a key to opening other horizons in your life journey. Oftentimes people will think that their lot or their statement is really, in a sense, just that. They will allow imagination to wander away with them, and then allowing this statement to become some other kind of duality of purpose. So, for example, you may perhaps travel a great deal in your dream state. So what does this really mean? When you are interacting in dream state, it may well be that the interaction that you have is actually to do with certain situations of your physical life. Yes, we know that. And possibly to resolve certain issues. But what generally tends to happen in the spirit world and within your journey of it is that certain signatures will come forward whereby you perhaps find yourself enlivened by certain situations that you come upon. Maybe that you find yourself in a completely different world, alien environment. So there are plenty of those in physical life, but there are also many of them in other terms of physical life, represented in exactly the same dimension you are in, but that in actual fact are just simply different worlds. So it can become this, that actually what happens to you in that state is that these situations of dream state or reality, however you wish to term that, are there to set you upon a path of awakening. And it's really to do with these awakenings, of course, that become the first presence. In many respects, as a child, you may well not have lost any of that presence. And perhaps the magic of you, the magic of your what you see in front of you and what you interact with in your physical life is something which continues to stir the awareness of self and the awareness of all things, which means, of course, that you become empathic with their energy, to their harmony, with the way that they relate to you. They're not out to destroy you or have any kind of significant negative impact on you, but are there simply to live in harmony. The only reason that an animal will run away from you is, in truth, because of the energy you give off. So it may well be that you may meet with, shall we say, a small creature in your garden. It's not necessarily going to run away from you if you keep very still. If you keep very still and do not make moves to harm it, then your empathic energy, your harmonic energy that you release to the atmosphere and that around you, as well as your spirit, will be the engagement, which means then that it will feel no act of negativity coming from you, and certainly not any form of intention toward it. So therefore then, animals, we can quite clearly see oftentimes, are actually readily understanding of what a negative entity is or what it isn't. Worms, in fact, do not quite react in this way because they don't actually see a mole coming, means that they do not actually realize that they're about to be eaten. In exactly the same way that they don't realize that the tapping of a bird's feet doesn't mean to say that they are aware that they're going to be eaten, but purely they come up to the surface to actually find out what's causing the noise and the vibration. Which is why, of course, the birds have such a trick of being able to do that.
Okay. Well, so basically, actually, it takes the pressure off knowing that the most simple thing create a change within you to form this enlightenment, because normally we put this enlightenment goal up on a pedestal,
way over there,
and just to know that actually these changes within yourself are actually all of part of the process of enlightenment.
Well, and you must call them enlightenment because they are. That's what I'm saying. It's not something that's a rare attunement, so that you would glorify perhaps some guru status being as saying, oh yes, he's the enlightened one. Well, so are you.
Well, we think that we aren't special. We see others that we feel are, because they can they speak wisdom and that sort of thing. Maybe they have a good rapport with their guides or with their spirit or whatever, but it's within everybody to be able to do that.
Absolutely.
And this is what it's all about. This is what our shows are all about, and I know the station is all about, is in empowering people and helping them to become aware of their worth, basically.
Yes.
So it's being, okay. So are there specific situations, apart from the tree and the beauty and that sort of thing, that you can think of to give us some examples of this awakening within us?
Well, I'm trying to think of a situation perhaps which presents itself in the spirit world, for example, of a person, and you have to understand that this is very similar in a sense, when we have someone who recently comes to our side of life, and perhaps they struggled with some kind of a disease or whatever, it may well be that that person has a bit to accommodate itself. That means that it has to shrug off the thoughts and feelings that the being had during the physical life, perhaps leading up to their passing, because maybe their passing created distress to them. But that's only figuratively as a physical being. That doesn't mean to say that it caused that to their spirit. In fact, actually, they will be mightily relieved of the fact that they've actually made it to the other side of life and that all is well. The point is that sometimes what we have to do is to, in a sense, wind back their journey so that they are able to understand that the situation of what they went through is just a memory, and that it doesn't have to have all of the fear and the anxiety which was attached to it, possibly, upon their passing. I'm not saying that this is the same for everyone, but oftentimes what we have to do is to unravel the state of the being themselves so that they really understand perhaps a different, understand it from a different point of view, so that instead of moving through it and then having to recover, that they're actually perhaps focused on a different aspect of their lives, which then means to say that not that their passing is forgotten, but it's merely a memory, and it's put into the context of memory.
So basically, when we are, if we're on the earth plane or if we are in the spirit world, it's we break through the fear. We break through fear,
yes,
however that is created within our consciousness, and we have an at-one moment with our spirit.
Yes, of course. Now, if you have a person who has the fear of being outside, then it may well be that that person's understanding of outside and spatial awareness is what is at fault. It's because they're seeing that as a threat. And it's interpreted as that the open space is a fearful thing. It really comes about purely and simply because of a displacement of their awareness. And so it means that you have to retrain the awareness in order for that to be resolved.
Through our perception of what is,
yes,
in other words.
Absolutely so. And it's all about perception.
Absolutely. And obviously we know that this was one of the reasons why we and many people advocate meditation,
yes,
and that sort of thing. But we do know that it happens. Obviously, there's people on their spiritual pathway now, and many probably wouldn't even be listening to programs or open-minded enough to listen to PBS radio in the first place. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
If they weren't searching and had an open mind. So this is the whole thing, and how different we all are. And don't forget, everybody, if you'd like to join us with a question relating to this or a comment about how it happened for you, how you feel you managed to become free of the trappings of the material, fearful, negative-laden life that you might have led, or just that, you know, I don't know, maybe you had an experience, a spiritual experience, and it changed your life forever, we'd love to hear about it. The number is free phone 877-876-5277. That's in the US, and Canada is 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-22. But you have to pay for that last rate. Has the process evolved as we have? And I know that you say that we haven't evolved, particularly in as far as we're still rampaging, killing each other and that sort of thing. But has the process of our senses and how these awakenings within us happen changed over the years, as we have done, you know?
Yes, I understand. There is a process whereby many people suspect that their spirituality or their spiritual freedom is something perhaps that people find more empathic, so that you would have more people who become spiritually free rather than less. The point is that these opinions usually come from people outside of perhaps specific religions, you would say, but actually it isn't, because many people, even within any given religious understanding or indoctrination, will actually consider themselves to be very free at the point of their understanding.
Mm.
And in point of fact, I have to say that I cannot take anything away from anyone who follows a religious dogma or whatever and actually finds a really large degree of enlightenment through that indoctrination and through that, if you like, morality code. There is nothing wrong with that. And for those reasons, dear friend, it's why it is that so many religions exist in the physical earth and upon it. It's a way of helping a being to come to the undivided quantum of self, but also maybe part of what tends to happen in the fear-laden process is actually in how people tend to focus upon that it is to do with the deity which you must fear, or that you must love and fear at the same time in order to have this degree of fulfillment. And only then, by this ultimate form of love, can you ever be set free from your own confinement. So that really then is, in a sense, a matter of how a person, one person, actually sees themselves in relation to their surroundings. And what I'm saying is that for every single being, every blade of enlightenment that you have in a moment, even a fleeting time of there it is and there it's gone, it matters not. What matters is the fact that you are a changed being because of it. And because of the change that has come about means that you may grow forward in a beautiful state. You may become much more empowered by that beautiful state for having had that interactivity. And with help and with honor, it will have moved you forward in the process of knowing. So it does not take anything away from whatever religion it is you have or that you hold to your heart. What it does do is enable you to think differently about some aspect of physical life which will help you make different decisions and judgments based upon a greater knowledge than you had before. That's all that knowledge is. The willful act to act upon what you perceive and your decision-making has produced is the culmination of whether you see it as an enlightenment or as a denigration. For example, you may have the thought and knowledge that the group of people over there are perhaps creating mayhem or negativity. It may be not something that they see themselves. It may be that they are actually obtaining joy from their behavior and activity, whether it is that they have set upon someone else and have taken the life from him because of that, or whether it is that they have laid at the feet of someone else and kissed them, and that their life, love for that being, or their perhaps holding that being in absolute wonder, is a situation which will also bring them to some kind of enlightenment. I'm not saying that intended negativity will bring them to enlightenment. It will certainly bring them to awareness. And unfortunately, when you are living in difficult life, sometimes these forms of awareness can then be construed of creating the same endomorphic chemical reactions within the physical body as creating love, which then means that person becomes preoccupied by it, which is exactly why it is you have some physical beings who are then preoccupied with violence. they're really subjugating one life form for another.
Well, everybody's knowledge and everybody's truth are personal and individual to
yes.
that person, aren't they? But
yes.
I know if you once you have become aware, I hear this all the time, that there's more to life or this world or and ourselves than we're led to believe, it's a truly, truly wonderful moment. And you think, and I know, you know, you meet people that used to maybe come to workshops and that sort of thing, and they've only just discovered the whole the whole aspect of the possibilities of the spirit world, maybe,
yes.
That sort of thing, life on other planets, whatever, however it's touched them. And they think, oh, phew, that's okay then. Now it's all plain sailing from here. And then there's all these choices and different opinions. And now they've got to start all over again, haven't they?
Yes, and try to battle their way through.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely
yeah.
so. But that's oftentimes the case because people do place their own individual values on certain aspects of what is one thing. And you are only, at the end of the day, relying upon mind and the fallibility of that mind. So, my dear friend, in many respects, you might say, well, in that respect, we are relying upon your fallibility of mind and the ability, perhaps, of the things that I'm saying in relation to help you to understand your way forward. I am most certainly not speaking on my own, but there are many thousands here who are speaking of this one conscious state, which means say then that all of this energy banded together in effect is trying to address all problems and all areas of confusion so that it is easier for you as an individual to pick up upon where or what we are discussing.
Oh yes, it's discussing everything and anything, and that especially things that we're maybe programmed to believe and hopefully emerging with a wider point of view that's applicable and useful to people now, basically, isn't it? I mean,
yes.
It's. I think it's a wonderful way of learning. It's such a good learning tool. And basically everybody can take what they feel they need from the conversation,
yes.
how they feel it sits with them. I think it's, for me in particular, I can learn a lot more from watching people have a discussion about something than actually if I were to sit down and read it. And I think a lot of people are the same.
Yes, of course, but that's actually because it comes into you on many different levels. It stimulates you because of the speech being made and also the activity and the interaction between the people involved means that what you are actually also looking at is the physical display, as well as the emotive states, hopefully, of the conversation taking place. What I have to say, though, also, is that many people, perhaps, will be centered upon certain, or looking for certain sentences or nuances to do with how it actually affects them in their lives. So we cannot help but remain mindful of the fact that people have to understand that this is coming from their own understanding, that it's coming from the way that they see life as well, that people in living in physical life are not left out, but they are actually inclusive in this nature of communication. And so for this way, what we're saying is that, so if you are a person who perhaps is trying to understand something of self, what is it that you are actually going to bring about? What is it that you are going to join in with if you, shall we say, you want to bring about a question? Perhaps it's to do with something that you felt. Perhaps it's to do with the way that you felt within a relationship or something like that. It may well be that your lack of enlightenment or awareness of that person, or perhaps unfamiliarity with that person's way with all, how they conduct their life, in a sense, will leave you without a sentence structure, without being able to punctuate your life, purely and simply because you don't in a sense, we are trying to look at many different ways that people evaluate their life, that they grab it, they hold it, that they are then trying to understand the ways of the minds of somebody else, so that they too can come to understand that person's way of thinking, particularly, of course, if there is a deep relationship of love or bonding in existence with that person. Then it's like you would want to know everything that you can about that person in order to understand the harmonic that is present and in order to understand how that person can live within your vibration and be compatible. This is exactly the same as you creating enlightenment to any other problem. And what you resolve in this is then to be the decisions that you make or the knowledge that you have gathered then helps you upon your journey. And this is exactly the same what it does with your spirit.
I think as children, we're very often, definitely in my school anyway, you're given examples of a good person.
Yes.
And what you should be like and how you should be behaving and that sort of thing. And then so the whole emulating others pathway starts at a very early age rather than being an individual and enhancing your own skills. I mean, as a child, we're not told that we have intuition and that we can develop that and how wonderful that is.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mean to sort of like be mediums or anything, but just to help us, to guide us through our life, you know.
Yes, absolutely so. And know exactly how to touch upon that energy and move with that energy which feels right with you.
Mm.
Yes, absolutely. So it's part of the reason, though, why it had been that in certain religious structures, for example, saints, or maybe it's clerics, or maybe it is imams within another religion, you actually are taught then to idolize certain beings because of the qualities that they are said to display or have displayed in their physical life of leadership, their qualities of understanding, and their qualities of knowledge of human behavior. It then means that in a sense that you are abdicating your own responsibility for what you seek, and rather that you're idolizing somebody else's qualities that you then have to try to measure yourself against. Does this mean to say then that you'll never actually meet the real seat of enlightenment or understand that you can actually pass it and that you can actually engage within it in your life? That's part of it. It is not that people think they're disenfranchised, that they are lower than somebody else. How many times have you understood that person coming to you saying, I have a master, or I have a master that I want you to meet? And you would think, well, that person's master is theirs. It's not mine. Why would one person want to seek a master? Why would you want to be shepherded in that way? Do not have a brain? Do not have a mind? Do not have a consciousness worthy of such a thing beyond the limited view? What human beings have to understand is that they can move beyond the incumbent of being told that they have to do this and that. And that is not being anarchistic, it is being truthful. Human beings have, unfortunately, allowed this incumbent prodigy, in a sense, to be like a surrogate parent, so that you are told that you have to do this and do that, regardless of whether you think it's right or not. The laws of the land laid down are created through morality, the codes and minds of others. How you yourself then, in perhaps engage in becoming enlightened over a situation of awareness. Take, for example, the beautiful tree. If you were told that you were not allowed to look at the beautiful tree, would you really miss it? You had never seen it. What then? How then would you understand the beauty of something in the wild that comes from the creation of all life? how would you regard that physical entity of collections of cells in all its perfect purity, not quite perfect enough as it happens, because all life passes to from physical state and withers and perishes. So therefore you could say that there are certain elements of physical life which are imperfect. But I'm saying at the point of life and the way that it is imbibed within that life, it looks, for all intents and purposes, to be beautiful and perfect.
So basically, unless you feel it, glimpse it, you may not even ever strive for it. So
exactly.
That's what I'm talking about, though. That's the awakening, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
This, whatever it is, this catalyst, this beautiful thing that happens
and it's
within
cross,
you.
Yes, and it's a crossroads between knowing and not knowing. So before you met with it, you were not knowing, not living, not experiencing that dwelling nature of absolute perfection.
So you're not allowed, really, then, are you, to have parameters in your life? So really, yeah, you get rid of parameters, your boundaries.
Absolutely.
And then
there are no boundaries.
Then there's nothing stopping you. There's just you,
yes.
And being in the oneness
now.
With your now feeling, yes, absolutely,
yes.
Of what is.
Yes, that is true. And that's really, in
it's
a sense, what
it that,
comes down
it?
To. It's as simple as that. Yes. And so when you want to manifest something, what is it? Is it the reason that you want to manifest? Is it the reason that you want to experience this collection of energy or this collection of ideas or ideals that other people have said, oh, this is a good thing to do? If I tell you to go out and meditate in a field with nothing, absolutely nothing, just sit down on the ground, or even you stand there and meditate, there's a thing. Many people wouldn't dream of standing and meditating. They'd have to sit down, surely. Why? Why do you always suppose that you have to sit down to meditate? It's a perfect thing to, for example, walk across a field with your eyes completely closed. And actually feel the energy of the place, the environment, the wind around you, perhaps rain blowing in your face, perhaps not. Perhaps it is sun beating down upon your skin. All of these situations are simple, but absolute joys you can experience, and it creates a different path of oneness that for you will be a brand new experience.
So energy is a scientific, we learned about energy in a scientific fashion as children, but not energetically, you know, between people and places, that sort of thing, and animals.
Yes.
That's somewhere else where we go wrong, isn't it, really?
Yes, absolutely it is, my dear friend, absolutely. So that's part of the reason I have to say why it is that some people abuse animals, purely and simply, because they don't connect with their energy. How often times have you seen a person mishandle a horse? Purely and simply, partly it may be because they are not understanding the value of horse or horse's spirit, the way horse actually thinks and feels. It may well be that the harm that you see that person doing to horse is not of their making, but just purely of their ignorance. Horse does not maybe realize or is perhaps antagonized by having to be in that physical person's space purely because they don't actually know how to behave with horse.
Yeah, that's just a lack of connection of their spiritual, I don't know, morality, their...
Yes, that's right.
Whatever you would like to call it, isn't it, in general?
Yes, and that is their lack of awareness. So if you have a horse or a dog or a cat, you are possibly going to learn skills to do with its empathy in your world. It's moreover that you will develop those skills with a dog or a cat than you will a horse, because a dog or a cat, you'll be in its space longer.
Mm.
Therefore, it will teach you more about its life than it will learn of your life. life. Because actually, both dogs and cats are very manipulative beings. And what they tend to do is treat people with training, that they have to train them.
I have a question here from Nick, a listener.
Yes.
Nick, he says, does the physical life on Earth, on the whole, offer happiness or pleasure to its ex-lifers in the spirit world?
I have to say, my dear friend, that for, in the most part, beings who have had a physical life eventually come to understand that aspect of consciousness was, I suppose, a positive thing, even if that being had but 3 days to live. And who is to say at that time as to what development of that spirit, or that in fact spirit had to develop at all in order for that being to have a physical life? That's only conjecture from the aspect of, or from respect of, the physical being now having a physical life.
So do in the spirit world, do they still talk about the sort of things that we talk about, you know, like this, for instance, enlightenment?
But not the price of bread.
Very good, very good. Yes, but enlightenment. So, okay, we're here now. How do we become enlightened now? What do we do now? Do they still talk about it and discuss it on
absolutely
that sort of thing?
Yes, and become empathic with energy. How, for example, some people or some beings in the spirit world will actually gravitate towards certain individual states. For example, there was a concert the other night given by Bach and several others of new pieces of music that had been brought about by their questioning and their constant surveillance of life, as they wanted to empower that life and, in a sense, be as an analogy to it. So they were actually looking at different ways that they could bring about different kinds of mood and temperament through vibration and through different kinds of signature which were not a physical state, that had never been a physical state, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps it was a time signature which actually came from a different planet or a different dwelling state, and trying to place that into the fields of music that had been originated from human existence, but also tied in with other beings or other states of being. For example, in exactly the same way that birds don't necessarily learn one specific pattern, but a myriad of patterns. They are not just merely setting off their songs in accordance with their genetic principles, but oftentimes will actually adopt and make new ones. But their whole aspect of how they sing is not in linear time, necessarily. And they may well be singing two or three different melodies at once, but that what you pick up and understand is of a different song altogether to what it actually means.
I do.
Because, in fact, people don't understand or think in terms of bird when they're listening to a piece of bird song. And what Bach has been working upon is the way in which other beings express language and help others in the spirit world to identify with their language. It's all a learning curve and a learning situation for many beings. So it means that even those illustrious composers who were at once reveries by those of their peers are in fact still learning, still creating and growing within the organic moment of it. And the realization, which has come from many different species, of this interdimensional communication. In exactly the same way, my dear vendors, they have done a great many sequences of musical pieces to do with whales and dolphins and many other creatures who have actually come together and created music.
What they sing with their...
Yes.
In the same way that they did before, you mean?
Yes, exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But that it's actually enabled in such a way that others, everyone else in the spirit world, can actually identify with it and feel that energy.
Can they actually feel the words in it?
Well, it depends. Words within it.
Well, I know, but if it doesn't have words in it, does it actually, in the spirit world, convey in, if thoughts are a living thing?
Yes, what it does is that the sound turns into pictures very often.
Right. Oh, that's just blown my mind, everybody. Yes, okay. Well, actually,
how beautiful is that?
Well, yes.
So you have boats of sound coming out of this interpolation between whales and beings in the spirit world who did have a physical life, and they're interacting with many different kinds of life forms and all creating these energies of music, which then turn into pictorial display of love, or pictorial displays of consciousness of how that is transported into image.
Well, I don't know about you, everybody, but I can't wait. Yes, wonderful. Bring it on.
I'm not hastening it, my friend.
Yes. I was only having an argument with, well, not an argument, a debate with somebody the other day saying, you know, I'm sure you convinced me to come and have this physical life journey because I'm sure I wouldn't have been so stupid as to have picked it myself. People still say that when
oh,
I go
yes.
back.
Well, sometimes
well, what
they do,
was
yes.
that all about?
Yes, absolutely.
You
so.
Said that it was going to be easier than this.
Yes, absolutely.
So. Okay. Well, that's lovely. In fact, we'll have to do a program, I think, on the sort of thing that you were just talking about.
Yes.
That just sounds totally fascinating.
Yes.
Yeah, lovely. There's a bit of escapism for us. Okay, thank you, Gregory.
Well, it's actually reality, right?
It's for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it is for you, too. I'm saying this. All of these things are actually accessible to you within your consciousness.
Okay. Well, we can talk about that, too, next time.
Yes.
Thank
Very
you.
Very well. Love and light, my dear.
Thank you.
God bless.
And we hope you've enjoyed the show on this new time on a Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And I'd just like to mention our website again. That's www.spirit-teachings.com, where you can find out more information about us. And thank you so much for listening. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.